have to write the title on the board here. Well, I'd like to welcome each one here this morning as we remember and celebrate and participate in the resurrection story. Aren't you glad that we can be part of the story today? I am so glad this isn't a story of something that happened a long time ago that has no relevance to today. But we can each one be part of the story, and I'm appreciative of that today. I believe that the most powerful, satisfying, and beautiful story in the Bible is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, not just because of what it meant for Jesus, but what it still means for us today. The good news of the gospel today is that it is current. It's applicable. It still works. It's still just as potent today as it was back when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and met with those that loved Him. Do you remember when Jesus met with those that loved Him before He ascended? No doubt that was a powerful time in history when they thought all was lost, all was gone. And yet, there Jesus showed back up, alive and well, and the hope that must have been revived in their hearts. A new lease on life, if you will. Today, He's just as alive today as He was back then. And He comes and He speaks hope. And He calls us each one by name today. And I'm so thankful for what that means. You know, Easter Sunday was never intended to be a time to remember and celebrate Jesus' victory by downhearted, by lost, discouraged, without hope congregants. Amen. That are just here on Easter Sunday because it's Easter Sunday. That isn't why Jesus came. Jesus Christ came to bring a resurrection of life for whosoever will. Whosoever will come. Jesus Christ brought a resurrection. New life, new hope, new beginnings. He brought the answer to satisfy our hearts. And it's real and it's applicable. And I'd like to consider some verses this morning. We won't read all of them, but I'd like to pick up a few in the 27th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 27 and 50. And I'm going to skip a little bit through here. So, Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And in the 59th verse it said, "And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled the great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher." Seemed like life and hope seemingly gone, didn't it? Sorrow set in, perhaps. Probably pretty certain that that's the way that it went down. And in the 28th chapter, it said, the first verse, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. You know, after the persecution and horrific death that Jesus suffered, somebody's so good, somebody's so righteous, somebody that brought so much love and hope to so many while he had walked the earth and brought words of cheer and hope of victory that would come, and then to see him seemingly defeated. To see the nails, the scourging that took place, to listen to him say, it is finished. To see him lay in the tomb, that cold stone tomb where they rolled that big rock over the front. It seemed like all the boxes were checked in game over. End of story. This is the end now. And then to have Jesus Christ rise triumphant, defeating death and sin all at the same time. Not just for Christ, but for me and for you, bringing unspeakable hope. Bringing unspeakable life regarding past failures. Does it get any more final than death? In our lives, I mean, isn't that kind of seem like the final straw? When you die, I mean, that's kind of over, isn't it? Do you know that sometimes we may not have a physical death, but we can feel like the final straw has been laid in different areas of our lives? Haven't we been there? You feel like it's over? This part of me is, yes, I'll go on, I'll live, but sometimes we can feel that there's a part of us. Maybe it's repeated failures in areas sometimes. And it just seems like that it's the end. But Jesus Christ brought a hope. Did you know that the Lord, He's not in the business of being dead. Amen. Jesus is not in the business of being dead. Jesus Christ is not interested in you being dead and having no hope. Jesus Christ came to bring hope to the dead. That's why He came. And with it, bringing victory and hope in areas of our lives that were once without hope. Where we were once in places where we felt like it's the end. I've gone too far. This story is too far gone to rewrite it. And sometimes we can be tempted to withdraw and stand back and look wistfully, perhaps, on the gospel story as it may relate to other people. But the enemy likes us to think that it doesn't apply to you. He likes to make us think that it doesn't apply to me. That somehow we have unique circumstances in our life that has taken us past the point of return. And the good news of the gospel is that that's a lie of the enemy today. Amen. Jesus Christ came to bring life. He's not in the business of death. Jesus Christ came to bring a new thing. Those that are without hope, the Lord came to comfort our hearts. The scripture tells us, and we won't turn there, but Jesus asked Mary in the garden, He said, why are you weeping? Remember that? why are you weeping? And then he called her by name. Have you ever been there before? And I wonder today if... I wonder if perhaps the Lord might be passing by this morning and asking somebody here, friend, why are you weeping? Interested? He cares. He weeps with us in our trials. God feels hurt when we hurt. And he came by to Mary and he saw the sorrow that she had and he had the answer, see? He was the answer. And he said, Mary, why are you weeping? And I think about the story too of the Samaritan woman in the fourth chapter of John. And we won't read the story. You all know the story where we came to the woman at the well. But you remember the Samaritan woman that came, and no doubt that woman felt failure. She was acquainted with disappointment. She was looking for love. She was looking for purpose in life. She had tried so many things. Maybe on that day she was just looking for a drink of water. And I wonder if sometimes we're that person and we're afraid to acknowledge it. It's like, well, that was the Samaritan woman. She had a long history of things I don't want to be associated with. Maybe that was something out there. But I wonder sometimes if we're that person. And we've shown up to try to find the answer to the thirst that we have. I'm not just talking about non-Christians. I'm talking about Christians this morning too. We can find ourselves thirsty. We can find ourselves in a place where we have failed to quench the thirst somehow that we have. And I think sometimes we go to the wells that we can find, that we know of, to find the answer to the need that we have. And that's where this woman was. And I'm struck with the fact that Jesus met her where she was. Do you remember what happened right before that? They were hungry. They had been out there, and the disciples said, "We're going to go get something to eat. Let's go get something to eat. You want to go?" Jesus, "I think I'll stay right here." Do you think it just was coincidence? I don't. I think the Lord knew that there was somebody that He wanted to meet with, that had a need that He wanted to satisfy. And so He met her right where she was. Right in her failure. Right in her disappointment. Right in her sin. Right where she was, Jesus Christ met her there. And He asked her a question. He said, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." Well, what water was He talking about? He is talking about the water that came from the well that a man dug. Originating from man's labor. And sometimes I think we spend a lot of time drinking from wells that we ourselves have dug. And then we wonder why we're still thirsty. We spend lots of time. We go over and over and over to wells that we have dug. And then we're thirsty and we wonder why it is that we're still thirsty. And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me of this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Have you ever been there where you have unquenched thirst? Ever wish that you weren't stuck with the well that it seems like you've been drinking from, where there's no other options? Do you ever wish that the condition of your failure and defeat and emptiness and weakness and the place that you find yourself, you ever wish it would just go away? Do you ever wish there were parts of yourselves that just weren't you? You ever wish you could just change some things? How about do-overs? Does anybody ever wish you could have a do-over? There's been a lot of times in my life I wish I could have a do-over. Activities that I participated in that I wish I could do over again. Moments that I wish I could have back. Words that I just wish... I wish I could just take them back. But I can't because they're already gone. Perhaps years that I wish I could do over again. I think we all have places in our lives we wish that we could have a do-over. Redemption. And that's what Christ brought us. And I believe that that's what excited this woman so much. A second lease on life, a resurrection from the dead. The story never gets old. I think one of the most difficult things that we encounter is hopelessness. I think hopelessness is one of the most difficult things that we encounter. Where it seems like that the window of opportunity is past. And there's no hope anymore. And we're stuck. And this is the well that I'm going to have to drink from the rest of my life. And it's not satisfying. And then I've tried it over and over, and I've tried different variations of it. I've put different kinds of sweetener in it, and I've put different kinds of flavoring in it, and I've tried to change it up. I've changed the color, and I put a little carbonation into it, but it's still the same water. And I'm not finding satisfaction in this water. And there's no other options. It seems like that's my lot now in life. We feel that sometimes. And the enemy likes to tell us that is your lot. You don't get to have... There is nothing to look forward to. And we begin to feel hopeless. It's one of the most difficult emotions that we can feel. Is hopelessness. We can be in a bad situation, but if we have hope, if we have hope of something that is, it might get better, it gives us something to get up for in the morning. Maybe it'll get better. There's hope, there's opportunity, there's reason to believe that it doesn't have to be this way for the rest of my life. But hopelessness can lead to depression. We can get in dark places. We see no light. It seems like the rays of light that we at one time saw, somebody just came and put a curtain over that too. And people can get in places where they begin to withdraw within themselves. Begin to shut themselves off. Oh, they might smile to the world. But people get good at that. We go out, we face people all the time in the world, folks. The cashiers in the stores, those that are serving us in different places of work, And they've got the right clothes on, and they've got the smile on their face, but inside they're hurting, and they feel hopeless, and they don't see any more opportunity, and it looks like the hope of life has been taken from them. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us something. He came to answer that need. In the 10th chapter of John, He said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus Christ has come to turn our lives around in places where we're disappointed and where we're hurting. And I want to reiterate something to you again this morning. This is to the people of God. It's not just to the lost and to the unsaved. Jesus didn't just come by our way long ago and save us and went on His way, and we're on our own now. And then when we run into trouble, then you feel like, well, I've saved, I believe that I've done everything I know to do, and now it's up to me. The Lord's out trying to find other people to convert. Jesus Christ is an alive God who is this morning looking to affect resurrections in the lives of His people. Amen. Places that we feel dark, places that we feel despair, places where you may be down, places in your life that you think the window of opportunity has passed for happiness or joy, maybe in your relationships. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's a weakness, a sin that doth so easily beset you that you've dealt with, and it seems like there's no way out of it, and then life ahead of you looks like you're destined for that. Jesus Christ would like this morning to affect a resurrection in your life. He is in the business of turning people around that feel like there is no more hope. Amen. Do you remember the man on the road to Emmaus that He met with? Oh, those men, they had hope. They had trust. They believed that Jesus was going to be a king, and that He was going to give them the victory in this life, and that He was going to live and be strong. And then Jesus died. And oh, they were down. And Jesus came along one day. These men had left Jerusalem. Do you remember where they were headed? They were headed to a little place called Emmaus. They had turned away from Jerusalem. They had turned away from where the church was, if I can say it that way. Jerusalem represents the church, and that's where they had gotten to know God, and that's where their hopes were in Christ. And they had turned away from all of that, and their heads were down, and oh, they were headed off to Emmaus somewhere. And Jesus met them right where they were. Amen. He didn't say, well, those men, they've turned away from the church. Those men, they didn't listen to what I told them. I tried to explain to them. They didn't get it. They should have listened a little closer. Now they're turning away from me. Well, that's their loss. I'll look for somebody that has a more enlightened spirit. No. Jesus Christ met them right where they were. Amen. Jesus Christ met them on the road to Emmaus. When they were downhearted, they were disappointed. You know, if I were in their shoes, I might be a little disappointed in Jesus. Is that going too far? They had hopes in Him. They thought that He told them that He was going to bring life. And now He's dead. Now He's gone. Their faith had taken a hit. They weren't sure about their purpose anymore. I've been there. Questioned. Lord, are You God? Lord, are you what I had always thought that You were? Lord, is this real? Lord, am I giving my life to something that's based on reality? Lord, should I be looking somewhere else? Do you remember when, wasn't it John's disciples? They came to Him, and John sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one or not? Things are looking bleak in here. I'm in jail. I'm in prison. My life's at stake. Things aren't looking up for me. Are you really him? That's human, folks. We can get in places where we feel despair as Christians. That was John the Baptist. We can get in places where it looks dark ahead and where we feel like sometimes we're tempted to turn and walk away. And there's people that have done that and never come back. Walked away from the church. Walked away from the relationship that perhaps they once had with Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus is willing to meet you on that road while you're walking away. And Jesus met these men and He turned their lives around. Do you remember what they said? They said, oh, listen, did your heart burn within you when He was talking with you? Do you remember when He was opening up the Scriptures? Did you feel anything inside? Because when He was talking about that, I felt a slow burn going on down in the depths of my soul. I felt the same thing. And when they got done with it all, and Jesus broke the bread, and he lifted up, and He prayed to the Father, their eyes were opened, and they saw it was Jesus Himself, and He was still alive. He wasn't in the grave. He wasn't dead. They thought He was dead, but He wasn't dead. They had their eyes opened, and the Lord turned them around, and they went right back where they came from. They went right back to Jerusalem. And I want to encourage you this morning that if you're tempted to walk away, if you get on a road that's going to a little place where you're going to withdraw to yourself and you feel like your faith is taking a hit and you're not sure about it all and you feel down and you feel some despair and you can't see clearly and you don't know what to believe anymore, oh, I want to encourage you today that the Lord wants to be there for you. And that He's in the business of coming and turning your life around from where you are. It's not hopeless where Jesus is concerned. The Lord wants to do something special for us. He wants to draw us into the resurrection that He brought. He's in the turning around business today. I thought of the verse when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and He told him, He said, you must be born again. And I thought about that. Do you know implicit with telling somebody that they must be born again? You can be born again. If you're going to tell somebody, you must be born again, it means you can be born again. There is opportunity for new life. All things can pass away. Behold, all things can become new. And I want to pause for a minute and say this. I think too often we look to our own strength to move the big things in our lives. I think too often we stall out when we look at challenges that are bigger than what we can handle. When they're bigger than what we can muscle. And you know what? Life's bigger than what we can muscle. You know what? You're not going to be able to handle everything that comes your way. We're facing something that's bigger than we are. And we need help. But we are so apt. We're so apt to do everything we can to lift it ourselves. We're so apt to try it one way. When we can't lift it, we try to get in a different position. Well, maybe I can squat and lift it. Well, maybe I can dig out from under it and then get a different leverage point, and we can spend our lives trying to move barriers in our lives that we just flat can't move on our own. We take things on that Christ never intended for us to take on. We try to reach Jesus Christ in our own strength. That's why He came. We try to do it in our own labor. We try to dig our own wells. And then we can't. We find ourselves in the garden of sorrow. And then we go back and dig another well and say, well, maybe I'll try it again. And we taste it and it's the same water. That's why Jesus came to do the heavy lifting. When you read of this, of the account in Mark, the 16th chapter, I have always been encouraged by this passage. The two Marys, they got up to go to the tomb. They were down. They were disappointed. They were sad. They were discouraged. The Lord, who they thought was dead. They thought He was gone. They thought what they had hoped in was gone. But they still wanted to make contact with Him. And so they got up early in the morning, it said. I think Mark is the only gospel that gives this account like this. And they took their spices and then they headed off to do the best they could to get to Jesus. But on the way, one Mary turned to the other one and said, wait a minute. What are we gonna do? The stone. How are we gonna get to Jesus? There's a stone in front of that tomb and how are we gonna move that? But they kept going. And when they got there, it said, but the stone was moved because it was great. And that's how it said it. It is like the Lord knew people couldn't move that stone. It was outside of our strength to be able to do the heavy lifting. But the two Marys, they went ahead and went to pursue to see Jesus regardless of the barriers that looked like were in place. And I wonder how many times we sit in our homes and we think about our lives and we think about the journey from us getting to where we believe Jesus is. And then we see these big barriers. Sin, great discouragement, repeated failures. And we think about it and we meditate on it and the barriers just get bigger and bigger because the stones are greater than we are. And then we don't move. We just stay where we are. The Lord wants us to trust Him to move the things that are bigger than we are. That's why the Lord came. That's what He wants to do for us. He wants us to approach Him with faith, understanding. I can't earn my salvation. You can't pay for your salvation. You're not going to be able to live a good enough life so that when you get to the end of the way, the Lord sizes you up and looks at your book of life and says, well, let's see here. Whoa, you just got a failing grade. You can't come in as a result of your own righteousness. I can't earn my way in. That's why Jesus came. And I think it's sometimes why there are too many Christians that go through life with their head down. They have forsaken the Lord. Maybe they're not on the road to Emmaus. But they're not happy Christians. Do you think the Lord wants us to be unhappy Christians? Do you think the Lord wants us to go through life always worried about the fact that we don't think we're ever really going to be able to touch Him because we're not good enough? Because we're not strong enough? Because we don't have what it takes? Because there's things that we don't understand how we would be able to move them? No. The Lord wants happy Christians. He wants a people that recognize that He's the one that brings the strength. He's the one that has all power. The enemy comes along and says, well, look, if you move the stone, and if you can bring light where there's a darkness, and if you can clear the path of all of your unrighteousness and become righteous, then you too can have a resurrection of life. Have you ever felt that? I have. But that's not the resurrection that I read about in the Scriptures. That's certainly not the salvation that Christ brought. He came to give us the gift. Christ came to bring us something that we couldn't do for ourselves. I want to encourage you this morning, keep looking up. Jesus Christ, He has ascended to the right hand of the throne of the Father. He shed blood for us. He died for us. He paid the price for us. He rose from the grave. The angel moved that big old stone out of the way. The Lord is in the business of moving the stones away and out of your life if we'll believe in Him. If we'll approach Him, the Lord is willing to meet us where we are and do that. Yes, in the lives of Christians, we still have many needs. The Lord wants to meet us in our gardens of sorrow. Christians have gardens of sorrow. Mary was in a garden of sorrow. Jesus came by and said, "Why are you weeping?" And the Lord came to meet me and to meet you in your gardens of sorrow and despair. Amen. The Lord came to meet us when we were drinking from wells that weren't of living water. The Lord comes and He meets us when we're walking down a road of discouragement. Maybe we're drawn away from the Lord and we're headed to our own little city of Emmaus. The Lord looks and He cares. And He wants to come. And He wants to meet us there. And He wants us to unload our burden unto Him. And He wants to ask you, why are you weeping? What are you drinking of here? Where is it that you're going? Where are you headed? Why? It's because He cares. Not because He's trying to bring condemnation. It's because He cares. Does He give us all the answers all the time? No. He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to have faith in Him. He wants to be our Father. He wants to be our Comforter. He wants to be our strength. He wants to be our risen Lord. Do you believe this morning? Do you believe it? Are you interested? It's being offered. I'd like to end this morning in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. The ninth verse says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Our hope is not in our own labor. Our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope is in the salvation plan. God did a perfect work in 7 days. Or in 6 days, He created everything perfectly. He had a perfect plan in place. On the seventh day, He rested because there wasn't anything more that needed to be added to it. And then He invites us into that rest. To the saved and unsaved alike, Christ is our salvation. And He cares. And He takes time out for us. And this morning, if you're in a garden of despair, if you're in a garden of sorrow, if you're drinking from wells of water that aren't satisfying, if by chance you are walking away from Jerusalem, discouraged, disillusioned, open your eyes and look for Jesus, because He comes and He meets us where we are to help turn our lives around. Christ, indeed, is our resurrection. And as Paul so aptly stated, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen.